Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the podcast, Something to Believe In. I'm Steve, and this is the lovely Allie. How are you, Allie?
Great, Steve. How are you?
Good. Hey, it was come to my attention this morning. I didn't even know, but it's been 1 year since our podcast. It's been 1 year. It's been
one-year
anniversary.
That?
No.
I can't believe it either. I mean, hopefully it's gone as fast for everybody else as it has for us, because it has just been so enjoyable.
It has been.
It's fun. We've had some exciting people on, from Iron Cowboy to a lot of people within the company.
Last month's podcast was good, really good for me. It was great. I can't believe it's been a year.
It's gone fast.
Yeah.
And let's keep it going, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we have some good ideas for some new guests and some different conversations. Yeah. Today, they're just stuck with you and I.
Well, and why not go back to just the basics a little bit have some real conversations? And we have some fun things to share. We have a lot that we want Steve to share today. Good experiences, real life experiences, things like that. But why don't you maybe kick us off a little bit with what you just experienced here?
Well,
I mean, mainly because you're wearing a pretty sweet watch over here, and I want to kind of know the story behind it. Is that a Rolex?
It is. And I didn't pay for it. I would never pay for that.
Never.
No, it was free. Well, I got a free watch.
You had to do something to get a free watch.
I did. Interesting enough. It was a year ago, almost to the day, my brother, well, it was a little longer. He said, hey, he belongs to this very exclusive country club, and he gets the privilege of hanging out with people that we watch on TV. And, you know, Jon Rahm and Tony Finau, which Jon Rahm, I think, is number one in the world now. Phenomenal golfer. Finau is just an incredible human being,
yes.
Utah product.
Yeah.
But he's since moved, I think, he and his family to Scottsdale. But, yeah, he invited me to play in his member guest tournament. And when he called, I was just flattered. I said, yeah, you know, I'd love to.
And this was a year ago.
Mm-hmm. And so I said, just fill me in on the details. And it was probably two nights before I left for the tournament a year ago. And he sends me the roster. And I'm laying in bed. And I open up the email and I'm looking at the roster. And immediately my heart started beating. And I'm looking, and Jon Rahm was on the roster, and Tony Finau, and Brock Osweiler, professional football player, yeah. And Derek Anderson, and some other professionals, and all these people that I've grown up basically watching their career, that are just these phenomenal athletes. And it was probably around 9:15, I called my brother, and I said, hey, I don't think I should go. I don't fit in here. And he said, Steve, don't be crazy. You fit in perfect with these people. And I'm like, I don't. But what I was experiencing at that point, I was mentally looking for reasons to, and this is the God honest truth, to cancel.
Get out.
I wanted out because I didn't feel I was worthy enough from a sportsmanship or from a sport perspective to compete at that level with those people.
Or did you want to be embarrassed?
I didn't want to be.
People.
That's what it boiled down to, right? Yeah. And that goes in life. We look for reasons not to do things because we feel inferior
inadequate
or we don't want to be embarrassed, right? So mentally at that point, I was ruined. I didn't know it, but I took the plunge and I went. And I remember on the first match, we got down 5 points that morning match. And the first day was awful. It was a train wreck. I was a train wreck. And I felt so bad. I was embarrassed for my brother. I was embarrassed for myself. And then after day two, we started to do better. But it was a miserable tournament.
And you really mentally kind of lost before you even got there. You just didn't give yourself a chance.
No, I didn't.
Or credit for anything.
No, there was no chance. And so it was still a good experience. It was very good. What I did learn, I met some just amazing contacts, some great people. But from a performance standpoint, it was awful. Just awful.
Everything you thought it might be, right?
Awful. It was awful. Well, fast forward, it resurrected again. And that call came again. He's like, hey, do you want to play? And I said, absolutely, I do.
Good for you.
And mentally, it was a redemption tour for me, more than anything. Just not to go win, because that's statistically impossible. But just mentally, I knew I could represent better, and I was better.
And needed to.
And I needed to. And about 4 weeks before the tournament, I woke up and I told my wife, I just had this calming, this is going to sound corny, but I had this calming presence. And I woke up and I told her, I said, out of the blue, I said, Wayne and I are going to win this tournament.
Awesome.
And she laughed. I mean, she should, yes. Right? She kind of giggled.
You said, this is impossible.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah. And she's like, well, what makes you think that? And I said, I just feel at peace. I feel like we are going to win this tournament. And she giggled some more. And 2 weeks after that, I called my brother. I said, you're not going to believe this, but I have this feeling we're going to win this year. And he says, bro, I like your attitude.
Like,
let's get it. Like,
this.
Yeah, right. You know, yeah right. Well, we get there. We show up. And I don't know. You know what the weird thing is you hear athletes or people talk about out-of-body experiences. Like, you're just, it felt like I was living in this different space mentally. And
you're in the zone.
And I've never played in my entire life better than I played for 4 days.
Well, you saved it for the perfect time.
I did. I mean, I don't know who I was. I still don't know who I was. But I have to believe that my mind was in the right place. Mm-hmm. And I think the moral of this is, you know what? Sometimes when you go in with just, you do something with the fear of just not being afraid
failing,
not being fearful, just going in and saying, you know what? I have nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. I already lost. Who cares?
Right.
And just go have fun and just enjoy it and be in the moment. I think it's amazing what you can accomplish. So, we ended up winning our flight. We went to a 12-team playoff where it was alternate shots. So I had to hit, my brother hit, I had to hit, my brother hit, until you hold out.
Oh, so he couldn't carry you this time.
No, he could not carry me. It was a team effort. And we were both in a zone and absolutely hit probably 20 of the best golf shots combined that you could hit. And teams just kept dropping. And I don't really remember a lot until the end. And I got to tell you, for me to be able to share that, and the last hole coming in on the alternate shot, because we were the last two teams, all of these celebrities and these influential people are lined up all down the fairway and all around the green.
Feel like you're at the Masters all of a sudden.
And it was weird because at that point, I didn't feel scared. I just felt comfortable. And I can't explain it, but you hear Kobe Bryant talk about it. And I kept thinking about that. I wonder if this is what Kobe Bryant felt like when he would talk about that mentality where all the noise is gone, mm-hmm. and you just go, right? You just do your best.
Well, being in the zone, I really feel like is a lot of preparation leads to those moments.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the thought process that what you're saying, your vocabulary to yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, so different from the year before. But you really took fear off the table, but you also went in with a lot of confidence. Now, I know there was a lot of snow on the golf course, couldn't golf as much, but you've been putting time in, but not for this performance,
yeah.
but you just didn't have the pressure, but you did have a different mindset. So.
But I think the term fake it till you make it.
Oh, yeah.
I was faking it.
It's legit.
And we made it.
Yeah.
You know, but the best part of the night was at the end, the final night, they had a private concert with Nelly. They brought Nelly in and he was phenomenal. He still has it.
He does, yeah.
But I remember being there with my brother, and I had all of these people that I would normally would want to go up and just, you're enamored by Michael Phelps, Golden Tate with his big Super Bowl ring, Brock Osweiler, all 6'8" of them, Derek Anderson, all these people were seeking us out and coming to say,
so
how
cool.
did you do it? What did you do? And I'm like, can I see your gold medal? And Golden Tate had his, you know, to Michael Phelps. But he was so nice.
Yeah.
And it was such a good conversation. And, you know, Golden Phelps, we had these big championship belts. And I'm looking at a Super Bowl ring. And he's looking at my belt. And I'm thinking, pretty sure my belt was $50. And your Super Bowl ring is priceless. But he wanted my belt. I wanted to ask him if he wanted to trade, but I didn't have the courage. But it was just amazing.
That is so awesome.
It was great.
So awesome. You know, I think at different times in your life, too, depending on what you're going through, and even asking yourselves right now is where is my mindset?
You know,
am I kind of willing to go into battle with some confidence and feel prepared to take on each day or the world or family or whatever? And sometimes you just, there's something in you that's holding you back and making you doubt yourself. And really having your brother be like, oh, you're fine. Sometimes it's surrounding yourself with people that believe in you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay too. And it's just finding a way to get there.
Let's be honest. Life's a battle, right? Whether it's life, whether it's relationships, whether it's work, it's in the professional aspect. Everything's a battle. And if you go in weak-minded, you're going to accomplish weak results, right? And sometimes just by telling yourself and knocking that bully on your shoulder off and saying, you know what, I got this.
Yeah.
You know what, I'm going to do my best. I'm just going to be aggressive and be me. And whatever happens, happens. And sometimes when you do that, not only do you accomplish great things, but people get the best version of you.
Yeah. Well, I think we're way too hard on ourselves, first of all.
Oh, for sure.
And we win or lose a game, a match, a deal before it even starts, just because of where our mindset is.
Yep.
But I do think that, you know, being prepared, putting in the time, putting yourself in the right position.
Yeah.
I mean, you won last year just by going because of the people you got to meet and who you surrounded yourself
with. Sure, it was a great experience.
And this year you had a totally different experience. And I think it takes me to another point of showing up is key. But the better you can be at something you do, the more opportunity you have to connect, relate, and then to have a voice to give back.
Yeah.
They're coming to you, so they actually care what you have to say.
Yeah, because it's stressful. It wasn't easy.
No.
Right? It's stressful. And sometimes we look at others with the wrong lens, right? Mm-hmm. We put other people on a pedestal that they're better than us, which we're all the same, right? Yeah. We all fight the same things. Michael Phelps' story was phenomenal. When I sat down at dinner with him one night, and here I'm sitting with, I mean, I remember watching every Olympic, every match. I was enamored by it.
Yeah.
His sheer competitiveness and the way he was a winner.
Yeah.
But he's dealing with his own battles.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, that's deep.
The Waiting Gold is a documentary on him. It really talks about how sometimes you reach this pinnacle, that zone that you were in. They live in this zone, and then all of a sudden there's a huge letdown after, and it's just like that natural high. How do we get it back? And there's a huge drop off of depression. I think we all experience that at times in our life where, you know, we look forward to a vacation, we look forward, and then after there's this letdown, and it's just finding, you know, how do we get these natural highs? How do we bounce back from them? Yeah, I recommend watching that. He gives some really good advice.
What's crazy is how momentum or how all you need sometimes is a break or one or two good things. And if you stay right mentally, naturally good things just keep happening, right? But you got to put yourself out there and just do it.
Okay, so I'm so glad you just said that because I just went and heard a friend speak, and I'll go into that a little bit more later. But one thing that he talked about that was crazy was just, you know, we want all these things in life. We want to be successful in business. You may want to get married, want to get into a relationship. You want to meet somebody. You want to go on this trip. You want to have this car. But we're at home watching the Kardashians or Love is Blind or something or reading a book, and we're not out there putting ourselves in a position or opportunity to create that luck, to create that connection, to create that experience.
Or even momentum.
Experiences.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have experiences and not just read about them through other people. So here's a question for you. Obviously, you put yourself in a situation to have just some luck. Every once in a while, you get some luck and look
there was a lot of luck.
So what? Luck's where preparation meets opportunity. It's great.
Amen.
You know, so what other times in your life can you think of, or any of you, think of what's the most recent or time in your life where you kind of, we always talk about being uncomfortable, but you stepped out of a comfort zone or you were willing to go somewhere and you didn't feel like going. And just by doing that or taking that little step, you all of a sudden met somebody, got to see something, you know, you got something back. Can you think of a time different than this?
I mean, there's probably lots of times. I mean, I look at, this is going to sound corny, but actually I remember when I met my wife. I mean, I thought she was pretty much way over my skis, and she still is, but I was so reluctant to go talk to her. And my buddy's like, well, look at this gal sitting over here. She's pretty. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, no, I'm afraid of rejection. Right. Mm-hmm. And I walked by her three times and I pretended I was going to the bathroom, which I didn't need to go to the bathroom, but I pretended like I was.
Kept drinking that water.
Until the fourth time when I finally had the courage to go up and say, hey, would you care to dance later? Mm-hmm. Had I not done that, I mean, that person wouldn't have been in my life, right? Yeah. But I had to muster up the courage to go up and have that conversation.
I think it's always hard to do those types of things, but I do feel like in the last year, it's even harder for people. It's even harder to go and make that personal connection. It's harder to extend yourself, partly because it's like, do I really want to put normal clothes on and go out of the house, you know?
Yeah.
The other day on Monday, my friend, she's like, hey, so one of my mentors and good friends is Jesse Itzler, and he's phenomenal.
Oh, he is phenomenal.
And she tells me, she's like, I think Jesse's coming to Utah. I think he's speaking somewhere. And so I'm like, I'll just text him. You know, I mean, Jesse has a million people in the world he's friends with. And I'm like, I'll just text him. I'm like, hey, Jesse, I think you're going to be 5 minutes from my house. Do you need a sauna or a cold plunge? And he's like, I'm already hooked up. We're going in the Provo River and we've got our horse trailer sauna. And I'm like, awesome. He goes, but come hear me speak. So he hooked me and my friend up, and there was five of us from Utah. Do you know Steve Wojcicki? He played for Duke.
Yeah, yes.
So he was with us and coached with Mike Krzyzewski and for several years. And so we come up and they walk us right up to the front row, and there's builders and investors, and they're like, Bills, what are you doing on the front row? I'm like, Jesse's my boy. But anyway, the reason I bring this up is because, you know, just reaching out and texting, you never know what you're going to get back.
You don't.
And yeah, I could have felt like I'm going to bother him or whatever. So great to have us come in. We went to his VIP room after, but I needed to go there and I needed to get my cup filled.
Yeah.
You know, he's someone that sometimes it's not about us doing something personally to get us excited and remotivated, but sometimes it's putting ourselves in a situation to be around people that can give that to us.
Yeah.
And it was exactly what I needed.
And it's funny because you think we as a society or as people think that sometimes we tell ourselves we don't belong. Mm-hmm. We don't belong in this group. We don't belong with this class of people. We don't belong over here. But that's so false.
Yeah.
It's so false. That is just a nasty voice. That's so untrue because every day those people put their clothes on the same way you do.
Yeah.
They fight the same deals or the same problems, sometimes even worse that you're going through. And so just by going up and having a conversation and introducing yourself and asking key questions, people like to talk.
Yeah.
And they appreciate that. And that was funny because I felt that with Michael Phelps even prior to, it was the first night he was having dinner. And I just walked up and started talking to him. And that talk led to, and that in-depth talked about his battle with depression and different things, demons he's facing. And then we started talking about, it's like we'd known each other for years.
For sure, yeah.
Right? So you just got to put yourself out there.
I agree. I was thinking of examples where I've tried to create my own luck or opportunities have come up, and one that came to mind, and again, wanting you guys to think of these same things. We talk about mindset. We talk about putting ourselves in position to have experiences and to create luck. but also to different ways that we can fill our cup, you know, being around the right people, going and competing in these things. It's these natural highs that we want to experience. So, you know, when I was growing up, I had three older brothers and they were super physical into sports. And being the first daughter, I was like, I was a total tomboy. I mean, I no. seriously had, believe it or not, I had like this mullet that didn't quit. And
it
was awful, but it matched
my
brothers.
I think you should bring a picture next time.
So cool. Yes, I can share a picture.
Okay.
But I was like, how in the world am I going to defend myself against these boys? Because, you know, it was WWF was huge, you know, Superfly Snuka, Hulk Hogan, off the top ropes. Well, I was somehow intermixed with all that. Now, I did have a younger sister, thankfully, and we all balanced each other out. But I'm like, you know what? I was enamored. Crazy and embarrassing to say, with Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee. I had posters, not like every other girl, of them on my
Texas
wall.
Texas Ranger?
And yes.
Oh, boy.
And he's a good fighter.
So I decided
to get into karate. And I am like, my brothers are going to pay for this one day. You know, I'm going to be able to defend myself. And of course, I never use it on my brothers. But, you know, they're like to a neighbor, my sister will beat you up. And I'm like, don't say that. Of course, I'm not going to beat them up, and I don't want to fight anybody.
I wouldn't fight
Oh, believe me, you'd be just fine. So anyway, I stayed in karate for a long time, and I got my black belt really young and started teaching karate young. But I bring this up because later, you know, I was going to compete in these world championships fighting with karate when I was done with college, and I met this parkour group, and they were doing all these stunts, and I'm like, that sounds so fun, but I'm so broken. Like, my body can't do that. And they're like, well, we get all these girls to come do parkour from gymnastics, but we don't get any fighters to come. And so I'm like, I'll fight. So we created a fight scene. And when people get stunt jobs for movies or whatever, they just put them on YouTube and they find all their talent through YouTube. So one of these guys ends up being the stunt double for Chris Pratt. And so all of a sudden, we had these fight scenes on there, and, you know, I'm such a has-been, but so bad. But they call me one night, and they're like, hey, Allie, will you fill in for a TV show? We need a stunt double to do a fight scene and whatever. At the time, of course, I'm like, are you kidding? Like, I have a torn rotator cuff. I'm crippled when I run. I mean, they're going to have to put anything on fast forward that I'm in to make it look like I'm even moving at a certain pace. So I'm like, you bet, I'm going to do it. So I just said yes. And I went and had to do this stunt off this building and all these things. And then one night, randomly later, I'm watching TV and I'm on TV and I'm like, oh gosh, that's my scene.
What?
And
I didn't
it's
notice.
Crazy. But my point is like, you know, we do things in life and we take risks when we're younger. We don't know what they're going to lead to older. We're so reluctant to say yes about things. But the opportunities, no matter our age, there are so many experiences just awaiting for us. But we have to put ourselves and be willing to say yes, and not just in business. Yeah. I mean, we talk about business all the time. And for sure, being out and about and face to face is where we're going to make those connections. But life is about so much more than the dollar. It's the relationships, it's the experiences, it's getting stuff so we can give it back. And yes, I'm pretty sure they put it on fast forward in there and we had to do some retakes and stuff, but I'm so glad I said yes to that. I would probably never do that again, but to be able to create those fight scenes and do those things, it was an awesome experience, yes.
Well, we'll have to talk offline about what that movie is. I might have to check it out. Is it on Netflix?
Well, if you blink, you'll miss it, but it's a TV series. But so anyway, but I just think it's important, you know, we're on here sharing our own stories. You all have incredible stories that you've done, and we could ask all of you the same thing. But just really encouraging you to find ways to create that luck, to have experiences, to get away from the book, to get away from the TV. And then lastly, so that we can really hone in and nurture the relationships in our life right now.
Yeah, you know, I had a really unfortunate phone call this week. It was day before yesterday. Really, really set me back, really got me thinking, and it's still heavy on my mind. But very, very early in my career, in fact, I barely had my loan officer license at the time, and there was a builder here. And my wife had knew him and had worked for him and sold some of his homes and projects. And I'm thinking I'm great. I've got my license. I'm good. And I remember approaching him saying, "Hey, I'd like to be your preferred lender." And he's like, "No, I've got that covered." You know, basically. Okay. And I just kept on him and on him and on him. And I'll never forget the day he said, "You know what? I'm going to give you a chance." And that chance that he gave me was a game changer. It changed my life. It changed my family's life. I don't know that I could look you in the eyes and tell you I'd be sitting here today if it weren't for the opportunity that this gentleman gave my family. Well, I found out he's 50 years old, young children, young family, very fit, very into in tune with himself and his health. He was on his roof on the family home in Brighton, cleaning the snow off the roof, fell off and passed away tragically.
When did this happen?
It happened 2 days ago.
Oh my gosh.
And when I got the call, I just sat there and I'm still trying to process it and I'm still trying to understand why. But what I do know is that, you know what? I don't think we should take any relationship for granted ever. There's a lot of people in our lives that get us to where we are and that we're blessed to be with or to have a relationship with. And man, it makes the little things seem trite and trivial because now what? I mean, and the crazy part is he lost his wife probably about 12 years ago, tragically. And so those kids are without their mother and now they're without their father.
My goodness.
And, sometimes you think you got it bad or you're having a bad day. It's not that bad.
You know, it does. Those incidents put everything into perspective.
They do.
And, you know, we spend so much of our time trying to provide for families and really focused, again, on that dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard an interesting statistic is you have people come in all the time and say, "Hey, you want to be a billionaire, you know, a millionaire, whatever." There's only 750 in the United States.
Right.
And when you talk about, you know, ethnicity or gender, that number goes down to like 7% or whatever. And if you are a zero in the billionaire column and you're, what, 100% in your relationships and your authenticity and enthusiasm with the people in your life, you're zero because you're not doing anything. Everything's going in over here, but you have this zero.
Yeah.
You know, but if you have $1 and you're a billionaire in relationships.
Yeah.
That's one times a billion is a billion.
And it's funny. I guarantee most of those billionaires would trade their money for peace and happiness and relationships
over and over again
all the time.
So just a little tip, you know, to leave so we don't go over. I think that one thing we brought up probably our very first episode, mm-hmm. was the power of these three C's that I learned about in our relationships. And I just love it because the three C's are compliment, console, and congratulate the people in your life. If you could, you know, if you don't show up at somebody's family funeral, they won't think anything of it. But if you're there, they'll never forget it.
Yeah.
If you know that they did something good or you congratulate them, they'll see that you want them to be as successful as you want yourself to be.
Right.
And it just doesn't take that much effort. Every day you could think of one person to reach out and do one of those three C's, congratulate, compliment, or console, and deepen the relationships we have in our life. Then there's just, to be what we call a spiritual billionaire is so much more powerful and fulfilling. And we talk about filling our cup and giving us motivation to want to move forward. It comes from those relationships.
And also too, in relationships, and this probably could go on forever, but don't forget about the power of forgiveness.
Love that.
In those relationships.
Yeah.
Because no relationship's perfect. And there's going to be times when in that relationship where you feel wronged or you feel like somebody, like this friend or somebody that's near and dear to you, maybe crossed you or didn't do what you would want to do. the power of forgiveness is massive. And you never know when your number's pulled, right?
Yeah.
I mean, falling off a roof, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Cleaning snow and it's, you're done.
Yeah.
And wow, just, it's hard to compartmentalize.
I love it. Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm so sorry about that loss.
Yeah, thank you.
I think the biggest thing we wanted to leave today was just, this is kind of like spring cleaning of our soul and our minds. And we want to go into the spring. Hopefully it shows up here sooner than later, but that we go in with a really strong mindset of giving yourself some grace and believing in yourself and going in and just at least showing up, starting there. And putting yourselves in situations to have experiences and to create some luck and then to deepen those relationships.
You never know what's going to happen, but you have to try.
Yeah.
Right? You have to try. And sometimes people, and I'm guilty of this, you try and you don't see success. So then you think you're a failure. Well, you're not a failure. It just wasn't meant to be at that time. Learn from it and try again, because you never know.
Oh, yeah, we have a lot of examples that of people that took millions and millions and millions and millions of tries to figure out the one
absolutely.
Thing, or a lot of no's before they get the yes.
Yeah,
still waiting for mine.
Yeah,
so,
oh, you get it every day.
But anyway, we love you guys, and we're excited for the new year, and we wanted to just have a little real chat with you today and share our hearts a little bit with you. But
yeah, put yourself out there, give it your best, make new relationships. I challenge you to go find people you wouldn't talk to or that you would feel uncomfortable talking to, and just go up and say, hi, how are you doing? Maybe they're not the right person for you. That's okay. But you don't know unless you try.
Absolutely. Yep.
So with that, we bid you farewell. We'll see you next month, and make it a good one.
Yep. Have a great day.
Thank you, everybody.